There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
But here we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. Mallory Piping text line, great way to get through to us at 343-0106 for a text. Same digits for a phone call, 343-0106. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us one of those talkback messages we can play here on the show. All right, coming up, we will get into last night. It was a forum, not a debate, but a Mobile mayoral forum. A little bit of what went on there. We'll talk about it. Plus, like I said at the end of Jeff's show, like I told y'all, it's two pieces of legislation. I thought, I disagreed with the way it was going, but I knew I was going to lose. Lulu's Law, I pointed out, many times, even with the edits there, that it's... And it breaks my heart for what happened to that family and that little girl. I'm a father of a little girl, well, she's older now. But yeah, I get it. But is that law important? Well, it gets passed. And then the legislature passes that bill banning hemp products from being sold at gas stations. But there's a little more nuance to that. And we'll talk about that in hour number two with Jennifer Boozer. Both things went the opposite way than I thought they should have on that. So we'll get in that discussion. And as we get started now, it's my buddy, Cameron Smith. You can read his work in the Tennessean and elsewhere. And I want to start off this way. I'm going to play a clip here before we go straight through to Cameron. And this is the discussion about the dolls, and I guess it's back up. President Trump, like I said, what was it on Monday? I said he's always good for a kicker story, right? All these years in radio, till you have your main stories you're doing, and then you have like wacky pet news or whatever. You have a kicker story. Each week, President has a kicker story out there, and sometimes it carries on to the next one. But this was a discussion of the trade with China. It happened at the end of last month, and the president talking about how many dolls I guess a little girl should have.
Speech to President Xi of China.
And I told you before, they're having tremendous difficulty because their factories are not doing business. They made $1 trillion with Biden, $1 trillion, even $1.1 trillion with Biden selling us stuff. Much of it we don't need. Somebody said, the shelves are going to be open. Well, maybe the children will have two dolls instead of 30 dolls, And maybe the two dolls will cost a couple of bucks more than they would normally. But we're not talking about something that we have to go out of our way. They have ships that are loaded up with stuff, much of which, not all of it, but much of which we don't need.
Okay, so that is the discussion. And once again, I think if you listen to what Trump says there, he's not saying there are like so many news groups out there saying he's looking to ban the number of dolls little girls get out there, but maybe just make a commentary on the trade. All right, bring into this fray my buddy, Cameron Smith from the Tennessean and the man behind the Ballad of Davy Crockett we'll talk about in a little bit. Cameron, how many dolls is the right number? That's the big question. Are you with me? Have I lost him? There we go. Cameron, you got to unmute yourself. Looking at the connection here, you just unmute yourself. If you can hear me, just unmute yourself and you'll be good. Just press the, there you go. For some reason, there we go. Cameron, can you hear me now?
I can.
There we go. So how many dolls is the right number of dolls?
Well, Sean, after the technical difficulties, I want you to know that this is the upper doll threshold limit. It is how many dolls should someone reasonably have, which in a house of five boys, I have no clue as to the answer.
Well, you know, I have one of each, and you know my children, and you know, there was a lot of dolls in our house. I mean, it was a pretty doll dense, and then regular, and then when American Girl doll hit, and a side note, that was very popular in my house, so you had to collect them all, right? You couldn't. I mean, it was pretty smart marketing. It was like, I mean, it was like, you know, Star Wars action figures when I was a kid. If you just had Luke or Han, that's not, you got to get the whole set so you can make them fight. So with the dolls, I mean, there is a number, and I don't think to hear that, I mean, it's being rolled out as President Trump putting a ban on dolls. No, it's just, I mean, it seems like a disposable comment that has gotten a lot more attention than it should have.
Yeah, it's also just bad retail politics. You know, it is tone deaf for a billionaire and his billionaire secretary to say, well, you know, you just need to tell them their lives will be better, but they can't have the toys. Like, I think they make movies about these type of things. And this is what Democrats just eat up. They want to use this. They want to say, hey, this is the, see these people, they're literally Scrooge. And I
and he's not. It's not. I mean, he wasn't saying they couldn't have them, and that maybe they cost a couple bucks more. I mean, it's, this is also what he said. I don't know if it was really a State of the Union, but a address, bicameral address that the president did. You know, talking about we're going to go through this, and it's going to hurt some. I've talked about stuff. Heck, this week, man, a program I was in with Farm Bill money to get Kogan grass spraying done at the farm. I was in a 3-year window of it. Now it's not sure. They got window one, year one done, and they're not sure about two or three because the funding's been cut. I mean, it's going to hit everybody on this. So, I mean, you know, it costs more for the dolls and, you know, oh well.
Yeah, and the oh well is the problem. And what I mean here is, let's be honest, all this is just politics. And what I mean by that is you've got a window as president of the United States to say, okay, we're going to change things. We're going to do them differently. Right now, we're in what I would call hypothetical land. Like, it's this doll is going to cost more. This stuff won't be on the shelves. As long as it's hypothetical, it doesn't matter. When it becomes reality is when the political piper is coming. And that's where I really think the issue here is timing. It is, and we saw this Trump with the Canadian prime minister. He kind of said this weird thing like, well, we don't have to sign any deals. But he talked about 90 deals in 90 days and basically said, we're going to do this. Again, all of this is hypothetical. It's political speak. It's whatever. Right. But at some point, I'm looking at inventories. Companies who import have been burning through their inventories. When these tariffs were announced, they did everything they could to get it in fast. And so they stockpiled and then they started to burn through that. That we're going to have this, but at some point the pause is over and those tariffs take effect. And a 145% tariff isn't a tariff, it's a ban. The math no longer works, so there's no way you're going to import. And when those pauses become real or lifted and these tariffs become real and the impacts burn through all that inventory, then we're going to have a real discussion. Right now, it's just hypothetical. It's like, oh, it'll be better. We don't actually know that. But frankly, we haven't seen empty shelves either. So all of these hand-wringing things don't matter much at all. I just want to know that we've got a plan in place, that we're going to weather the storm. Because right now, the only thing worse than Republicans is Democrats. And Democrats are the only ones that will benefit if we do indeed have empty shelves and no dolls for Christmas.
Or you know, listen, that happens when you get the people go buy up all the stuff. What was it back in the day? Tickle Me Elmo. And they people buy it and then like go to the secondary market scalping them. Okay, I want to throw this out. So your reaction to this, the Chinese whitelist came out last week, this discussion, right? Bloomberg was talking about it, that China quietly is saying to specific American companies, we're not going to tariff you at all. You know, if it's ethane that they need to produce plastics or all these different, it's the essential workers of the American imports to the Chinese economy, right? You could see on that list what China really needs, which is of interest, too. So they're whitelisting these people, these companies, letting them sell without a tariff. And I looked at this and I said, OK, well, it shows maybe some movement. But on Monday's show, I started off and I said, Which would you rather be? This is a little exercise here. The buyer or seller? Remember, we always thought the customer is always right. If you are we are the consumer nation. But if we don't get the thing and the shelf is empty, I wanted the thing at the whatever price. You didn't get it. Okay, but you still have a job, unless you're directly related with that import. You still have a job. You still can buy other things. If you're the seller nation, China, you got to have the customer. Because if you don't, you can't keep your people employed and fed, and you might have an uprising on your hands. I think there's an advantage there for the United States, and I think we saw some blink on that with that whitelist.
Yeah, the difference is China has an authoritarian regime. I mean, they can say, we're going to whitelist these essentials. Here's the way we order our society. And just keep in mind, their input cost is low. So it's not as if it's just the United States. We're the largest consumer, but we're certainly not the only consumer. And when you look at the amount that of American consumption that China relies on, it is significant. But it is not by any means crippling. You know, if China was cut off today and we said nothing from China can be sold in the United States, there would absolutely be economic ramifications for China. But it would not be catastrophic or ultimately destroy them as a country. And I think we just need to remember that. A lot of us still think of China as, well, these are factories with kids and slave labor. That's the political narrative. No, that's actually not the case. They have a ton of advanced manufacturing. They've been building up their infrastructure quietly, and it hasn't made much fanfare in the United States, but they're actually quite competitive on a lot of fronts. And so I think they'll continue to compete around the globe. That said, yeah, it matters. And I absolutely like the ability to say, oh, we can just not have it. We don't need your stuff, and therefore we can play hardball. The question is, it's one thing to do that when you're in a corporate setting. It's another thing to do it in a political setting. Yeah. And I don't know how much patience Americans will have if the stuff isn't where they want it when they want it.
And it's a great conversation piece. I've talked about, are we the same people, same Americans we were during World War II, to hear my late father's stories about rationing and all the things that were done and pulling together for the war effort and all those things that people would, go without because of this. It's not the same thing. It's not, World War II. But will we have that American spirit that says, yeah, you know what, I'm going to find another way in the short term? How long is the short term? I don't know. Are we so short attention span now people can't stand it? If I had to enter this deal, if I'm doing this, it's not nation states, but it's individuals. I'd rather be the customer than the person selling, because I can go without, unless it's food, water, or energy, I can go without it. But you have a whole economy based on selling me that stuff.
Yeah, and frankly, food and water and even energy are stuff we have here. We're not importing that. So we're fine.
Agreed. I'm just saying, if unless it's those things, right? And we could argue with the medicine, that issue too. But other than those things, I think we can weather it better than China can, because I know you're talking about the advanced manufacturing, but they got to be able to, and I know there's other countries, but we are the big Megillah in this. They got to have us to sell stuff to. I mean, they need us more than we need them.
Yeah, and that is true. Here's the caveat to that. We need, and this is where Trans-Pacific Partnership and other things came into play, we need to admit that we need other people as well. So we may not need China, but then we need Malaysia, then we need Kenya, then we need Indonesia. There are realities that say, you know what? We are not the best to make everything on the planet. That's a reality, and that's actually a good thing. But, okay, if you want to tell me strategically China's a bad actor and we don't want to trade with them, okay, I can back you on that. But then build me a network that can get me the same thing at the same price points with good trade deals, and we can go on to glory after that. And I think that's why we've got to quit looking at this in a vacuum, like, well, it's just us versus China. No, it's not. It's global supply chains. If you want to realign them, fine. But the folly here is actually in the uncertainty. It is right now, if I'm an investor and I have tons of money, I'm just sitting on dry powder. I'm saying I would build a facility here in the U.S., but this may change tomorrow. I could keep importing, but that may change tomorrow. So I'm just going to sit and wait. And I think that's the danger here, is if we get stagflation, we get an economic downturn, things aren't on the shelves, the public perception is rough, Republicans are going to get absolutely murdered politically. And then this won't look like a good thing. On the other hand, if we never see bare shelves, we see opportunity, we see investment, and they feel safe, Democrats aren't going to hold office for another 10 years. So this is a big gamble right now.
Yeah, but I mean, it's something that has been told to us it was going to happen forever, and maybe other people hadn't had the stones to do it, you know, because it is risky. But I mean, that's probably why it hadn't been done in the past. And there are stories, right? I can go through the stories of companies that, I mean, you can watch the presser every day with Levitt talking about, you know, companies are bringing jobs back here in the United States. They're, you know, bringing this part of the production back in. I don't know, do each big name company we hear about, does that represent 250 ABC widget companies? I don't know that, but I mean, at a certain point too.
No, it's not. I can do the math and I can see those investments are big and they matter. And I wouldn't shake my head no at any of them. But here's a good example. My buddy owns a sheetrock supply company. They import screws from China by the containerful. And that supplies a lot of the construction here in the Southeast. It is a very nuanced, niche company. And, you know, what we're looking at is, okay, could those screws be made domestically? Sure. But to build a facility to make those screws takes time, right?
Oh, it's like I say about shipbuilding. Yeah, shipbuilding, same thing. They're not going to be able to expand production that fast, you know.
So they make an investment. They build something domestically. They say, we're going to make our screws here. In the meantime, they maybe get an exemption to keep getting it from China or wherever. If they don't, construction just stops because they can't put sheetrock on walls. And if they do, and it's still there, then the question is, when a new administration comes in and opens trade back up, now they've invested all this money in the domestic screw business, and China or Indonesia or somebody who already has a lower cost of living, says, actually, we're just going to crush you on margin. Well, now we've got a big competition problem. And so the government's going to have to say, well, actually, we're going to have to do some more tariffs and manipulations to preserve your competitive advantage. And that is down a road we don't want to go, Sean. Trust me.
All right. And I would argue, though, I mean, we're running out of time, but so many things that come from the left, I always say this has established a new beachhead. You can't come politically. They won't come back from this because it's politically untenable. Maybe if this does, you know, work, nobody's going to touch it either, because people will say, hey, we did this and we all survived, and Tickle Me Elmo was on the shelf, and my business is still open, and there's more company jobs back in the U.S. You're right. I mean, if it does correctly, Democrats don't win for a decade.
Yeah, 100%. And that's a big if based on a faulty economic theory. I mean, that is, okay, well, if you want to get good trade deals and have an open free trade with a lot of other companies, but not China, you can do this. If it's, we're going to shut this down, and we're going to have high tariffs on everything and try to use that as a revenue source, the math ain't mathing, Sean. And that's what I'm really, really worried about, is we do not have a plan in that event. You want to target China, you want to build free trade around the rest of the world, awesome, I'm all in. But if it is, we actually don't want to trade with anybody, we want to build it all here, good luck.
All right, Cameron, also, if people want to check out the, and it will not be suffering under the film tariff, the foreign film tariff, The Ballad of Davy Crockett, shot right here in the United States. How do they find that?
Yeah, shot in Tennessee. You can go to Google Play, Prime, anywhere you stream movies, go check out The Ballad of Davy Crockett. And, you know, it's an advantage to me if I'm making movies domestically and everyone else is getting screwed.
See? So that's good. And then we'll get you to make my Daniel Boone movie, and everything will be right with the world.
All right.
All right. Cameron Smith, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, buddy.
There he goes. And we'll be right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1228 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday edition of the show. 343-0106 for the Mallory Piping text line. Grab a couple of texts from here. Fire Dog. You know what? When we come back from the news, I'm going to talk about something Fire Dog said today, earlier during another show. But he says here, what Cameron Smith Hayes, what is Trump doing? Shocked, just shocked. Do Cameron and Quinn get together during the week for session planning with CNN? To say that they're, sometimes they line up on things, sometimes they don't. Cameron comes at, you know, and he and I have this discussion a lot. Both kind of were, Milton, and I'm a good bit older than him, but from different times, Milton Friedman, you know, advocate, just the things he said were so true to me and for so long. And I still, in the basis of what he said, believe it. I think a lot of what Milton Friedman said was built in a vacuum for a textbook. And if all sides played equally, what he says is correct. That's the most efficient way to run, you know, an economy, building the thing in the place where it's cheapest to do it. But the problem is we're not in that vacuum. So what happens? There. And go back to what I said Monday, and I just said to Cameron, I, if you had to be on one side or the other, would you rather be, just think about it in your life, a buyer or a seller? Who has the most power? And I'm not talking about water and food. I'm talking about things you don't have to have, but you want.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. Good to check in with my buddy David McCrary, who is now back at LCM Motorcars. Monday, he was on assignment. What was that assignment? What were you doing?
Oh, Monday and Tuesday. Got back late last night. We ended up buying 19 vehicles over the last 2 days. So we got two truckloads that have already loaded on their way here, and a third one should probably be here tomorrow, but two of them will be here tonight. And we've been busy. We need the inventory. We got a couple of empty spaces out here. So we got trucks, cars, got a couple of minivans. Anything you can imagine is on its way.
Okay. Let's also talk about options for financing.
Financing is fantastic right now. We've got Ally Financial, which is, you know, the old GMAC. We've got all your local credit unions. We've got great rates. We've got secondary financing, the Buy Here, Pay Here program. We're pretty much covering the whole spectrum, trying to anyway.
Good deal. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 in Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068. Or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. All the new stuff's on the website. Pictures will be on there tomorrow.
Good stuff, David. We'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
All right, there he goes. David at LCM Motorcars. Let me go to the Mallory Piping text line here. Let's see. First up here, B-Dark said, B-Dark had mentioned the Star ID thing. You know, as Star ID, Real ID panic goes into effect. You know, you can also, like, use your passport, and actually, if you want to be, I'm not telling you this is the most efficient thing to do, but even if you don't have the Star ID, there are people still getting on planes. And I know that there's a discussion of like having an exemption or this, that, and the other, but I mean, if you go to TSA, like this link here from TSA, I forgot my identification. Can I still proceed through security screening? And I've dealt with this before, not me personally, but with someone close to me. It says, in the event you arrive at the airport without acceptable identification, whether lost, stolen, or otherwise, you still may be allowed to fly by providing additional information. TSA has other ways to confirm your identity so you can reach your flight. So there are other, I mean, there's other things there, but yes, it's the panic on that. B-Dark also says they don't play with dolls anymore. They have cell phones. And if we blackballed China, it might cause World War III. Well, there's a worry, and that's a fair worry. You know, it's this global trade thing does have a realpolitik portion to it, right? They need you. Was somebody say the other day, you know, what happened when we walled off Japan? I mean, I think Japan was still going to be making some bad choices there under the emperor, but there's a lot to be said there. Oh, my gosh. Now, so Marty, who's listening on the FM Talk 106.5 app, is he's up in Demopolis, said, sounds like there's been a major explosion at the Hunt Refinery in Tuscaloosa. I know where that is. Hunt Refinery in Tuscaloosa. I have not heard anything. So we will keep our keep looking for this if we're in the back there. Any new news on this coming out of Tuscaloosa with an explosion there. Yeah, it's been interesting, the explosions that have been hitting the Iranians, too. Have you seen that? Like, it's just unfortunate stuff that keeps happening there. All right. And then Fire Dog said, first of all, we had a little discussion about American Girl dolls. Yes, we were definitely the American Girl doll house with my daughters growing up. It says, China can outlast us. They don't care if 10 million lose their jobs, starve, and die. That's a rounding error for them. Weak Americans will not last and don't even compare to World War II. We are weak by design. World War II, no one relied on the government for anything and, frankly, didn't want to. Now, probably half the population relies on some government dole. I would argue that, Fire Dog, that there was definitely, by the time of World War II, a reliance on the government. What happened in the 30s? Right? I mean, WPA, CCC, the programs, you know, you got put the people to work. There weren't the jobs during the Great Depression. So there, 1930s, I think, was really the, from the 20s, from the end of the Roaring 20s until the 1940s was a big uptick. And now compared to today, I agree with you, it's not even close. But as a percentage of what Americans had relied on federal government for in the past, that decade there, of the Great Depression, absolutely put a lot more people in. Goes on to say, what if the seller doesn't care? And I got a beef with you too, Fire Dog, in just a second. What if the seller doesn't care if they go out of business? It's immaterial to China. If they lose 10 or 25 million jobs, they can riot and head right to the space labor camp. This isn't apples to apples here. Okay. And what I want to take, and also Jason says, Fire Dog nailed it. I was just thinking that Cameron has been sounding very Quinn-esque anytime Trump is the topic. It's, I don't know, you can hear a lot more. I disagree. I think Cameron, while he, and I do the same thing. I question, like, I'm not a acolyte. I'm a fan. Like I said, 85% of the time, what Trump's doing, I like, but there's 15% of the time I don't. And I talk about that too. I mean, I'm not, don't say anything. It might give them an idea. Come on. So I think Cameron agrees way more of the time than Quinn does with things that Trump does. But we can score that. We can score it that way. All right. Yeah, Fire Dog this morning was one of the people. So during Mobile Mornings, the discussion in the 8 o'clock hour, they're talking about Mobile, right? And City of Mobile and people leaving Mobile. And then I saw Fire Dog. I heard they read Fire Dog's text said, I live in Fairhope. And there's zero reason for me to go to Mobile. Frankly, the city sucks. Well, that is, well, you have a lot of great texts. That's the dumbest text you've ever sent, I think, that it sucks. But you weren't the only one, Fire Dog. There was a bunch of people jumping on. I don't think I have this is not going to probably apply to Fire Dog specifically, but I'm going to fight for my town. I'm going to fight for my city. But I'll throw this in. As others jumped in on that text this morning, and to a T, other than Fire Dog, I think every one of them that was dogging out Mobile and how they don't like Mobile were people that left Mobile and moved to Baldwin County, right? You know what that is. You know what that is. You know what y'all are doing. You're doing the same thing. The person that quit smoking and now they go on now they become a prophet to telling you about stopping smoking. You know that person. Or they... you know, they've been a fatty boom baddie their whole life and they lost some weight. And next thing you know, all they can do is tell you about, oh, I'll tell you what, the clean living that I'm doing. Shut up. It's the same thing when people leave here. I got a bunch of my friends from high school. I say a bunch of, two of my friends from high school moved to Baldwin County. The rest are still here. They're not really bad about it. They never, because they're still Mobile homeboys. But it's the people that left Mobile that are going to most proselytize about how bad Mobile is, because what they're doing is they're shoring up their decision. They're telling you they made while telling themselves they made the right move. Now, it's no problem. Move to Baldwin County. It's cool. Live where you want. But this kind of thing, Mobile. And then you find out it's people that lived in Mobile. And then, so of course, what are you going to do? Are you going to move to Baldwin County and then say, everything's great in Mobile? Well, why'd you move? No. You're going to be ranting about this because you're trying to reinforce it to everybody that you made the right decision. Throw that into the mix. By the way, if you want to comment, Mallory Piping text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, the Disney, can we have time to get the Disney story? Okay, well, we may. It's just a side note story that came out today. You heard the big announcement about Abu Dhabi getting a Disney. So Disney and Abu Dhabi. CNN story says Disney announces a new theme park in Abu Dhabi. It's its first new resort in a generation. For the first time in 15 years, Walt Disney Company has announced the development of a new theme park, a resort destination in Abu Dhabi that marks the company's entry into the Middle East. How did it go when they went to, is that one in Paris still doing it? La Disney World or whatever it is? It says Disneyland Abu Dhabi Resort will become Disney's seventh global resort destination. The company announcing today shortly after reporting strong second quarter earnings. So a couple things. I mean, we can talk about, will the adult Disney fans, will y'all travel to Abu Dhabi to go check that one off your list? And then even beyond that, I want y'all to just help me here. So I looked through, you know, a list of rides that exist, you know, the Disney branded rides. Will all these be available in Abu Dhabi? And what will, you know, the whole Cinderella side of it, the celebrate, I mean, Cinderella is, if you're going to talk about top of Disney, right? Who is the regent of Disney? It's Cinderella. Well, it's female led. Is that going to go over well? And Abu Dhabi is a little more Western than some other Islamic countries. But is that going to go over well? I know that Aladdin's Magic Carpet Ride is probably going to be a very popular ride at Abu Dhabi Disney. But with like the under the sea thing with Ariel, with that, and Ariel wearing a couple of scallop shells for a bikini top, is that going to go over great in Abu Dhabi? Are they going to have to edit that? What's it going to look like? I mean, well, just looking through some of these rides and what might have to change for these rides to be in Abu Dhabi. Just a question. I have no opinion. I'm just an interested party. Just wonder what you think. We'll get to that when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1250 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. This segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Forrest at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. And speaking of the sales event, we talk about it soon. A special Regulator Boats event, which I dearly love Regulator Boats. That's happened later on this month. We'll give you details to go down and check that out. Day in and day out, of course, you can look at those great boats in stock at Blue Water Yacht Sales at Orange Beach Marina or here in Mobile on the East I-65 Service Road. And I keep going back to this, but this is the time of year, and you can see it at the boat launch, can't you, that people didn't get service work done. What I love about it at Blue Water Yacht Sales, they got a master tech on staff to do your Yamaha, you know, work and get the tune-ups done. And that's also important if you're trying to maximize every mile out of that gasoline you're burning in your boat. Make sure the engines are running perfectly and also, obviously, so they don't break down. And they do that work on Mercury's as well. But if you stop by and drop off the boat for like an engine service, you can also get that full service done from bow to stern. That means after they do the engines, they're going to check things like running lights and bilge pumps and all the different things that make sure the day on the water is safe and it's fun. And everybody gets done with that trip and says, we want to do that again. Cool. So get the service work done. Just on the engines? No, you can get it done on the whole boat and make sure everything checks out perfectly before you back down and put it in the water for the day. So check them out online, bluewateryachtsales.net. And you got a place there where you can make an appointment to drop off your boat for the full service and check out the new boats, of course, on their website, bluewateryachtsales.net, and in person here in Mobile and at Orange Beach Marina. All right, to the Mallory Piping text line here. And still looking, yeah, thank you. This texter sent a picture. And if I don't have your name, I'm sorry about that. Sent a picture from Tuscaloosa of that, the Hunt Oil Refinery. And you can see the smoke over it. And he goes on text, or he or she, the texter says, from my son in Tuscaloosa, he said it was a lot worse than this initially. So there's word is there's been an explosion up there. So we'll follow that. Let's see. B-Dark says, to answer your question, if you've got food and energy, I'm a seller. Anything else, I'm a buyer. Yeah, I think the things you don't have to have, it's a, and the majority of the things we think about Chinese imports aren't those, they're things you want, right? Maybe you need, but you want the cheaper version of it. I think in that, I'd rather be the buyer in this negotiation. Let's see. Billy D says, I read a book a long time ago, and several history professors actually agree with this statement that if you become unpopular and you become poor in a nation and go to war, but the only problem is you've got to make sure you win if you want to be popular and stay in power. Yeah, well, that's, we've seen that. I mean, I could be super cynical and talk about wars we've got into that may have something to do with the popularity of the people running any given country. All right, let's see. This is it's from earlier today. Let's go to Michael. Says, I was one of the Mobilians that have admittedly watched the decay of Mobile over the past 2 decades. Spread of Section 8, crime, blight, and homelessness is really frustrating. It is, but you should have people like you. You stay. I mean, it's like my buddy John Young and I talk about. We're Mobile guys, and we stay. And are there things? Yes. I mean, I do a radio show about the things that are wrong here in my fair city. But you keep working on it. But I do think, just as a side note, we can talk about which one's better. But I just heard that this morning. And with the number of texters that were like, I left Mobile, and then they're dogging out Mobile. Well, of course you're going to say that. Because you believed enough to move, and now you want to reinforce your decision. I mean, it's just normal human emotions. Mob Dog says, sure, a lot of people coming from Baldwin County to go to work in Mobile in the mornings. Yep. What was it old Councilman Fred Richardson said? He wanted to put like New York and some of those bigger cities, put taxes on people that work in a city but live elsewhere. I was not for that, still not for that, but it probably expresses some of that emotion, right, Mob Dog? All right, so Bill says, I have to call you out, my friend. I do believe you're closer to Mississippi than the city of Mobile. I would say you aren't living in Mobile. The Mobile people flee from. I'm seriously thinking of moving. I hate to, but it's just gotten so bad here. So, Bill, we could have a conversation one day why I made the move I did. Maybe a little complex and maybe a little more than I want to do on the radio. But, yeah, I forever have had houses in Mobile until just very, very recently. But I love it. It's my city. And, you know, within about 4 minutes of me, you know, rolling from the house, maybe 6 minutes, I'm back in the city of Mobile. Gulf Coast Girl, do you think Stimson's endorsement will help or hurt Cheerio Goddess? So we saw that. That was the, you know, announcement this morning. I don't think it hurts. Because where you would line up, you know, I always talk about these different lanes in political cycles. Like inside even a primary, intra-party primary, there's different lanes. There's different flavors of Republican or Democrat or Libertarians even. So I don't think it causes an issue. I think it's a reinforcing of Cheerio Goddess's campaign, not a detraction. And I've said this before. There's a few things we've talked about over the years where I wasn't crazy with things that happened with City of Mobile. But by and large, I'll double down on this. In my lifetime that I paid attention to, Sandy Stimson's the best mayor the city of Mobile has had in my lifetime. But it just, I mean, you could pick around the edges, and sure, there's things we'll talk about, but it's the best. He's been the best. Let's see. This from unnamed texter here. If you stop the panhandling and the tent cities, the homeless will move on. Start enforcing some laws is a good start. Well, the panhandling thing, though, I always like to throw this monkey wrench in, and I'm with you in spirit. But if you tell folks, if you can't panhandle, then can you, I don't go out there, Sean hates the kids' t-ball team. I don't. From my illustrious career back in the days at GAF Park, playing some t-ball on through my kids, that I'm for it. But when you go stop at a traffic light, people raising, asking for money for the t-ball team or the whatever cheer team or whatever, they're doing the same thing. No matter what they're using the money for, whether it's going to go to, you know, getting uniforms for the t-ball team or a bottle of, it's a can of Four Loko, they're still doing the exact same thing. So can you limit one citizen's ability to do that and not the other, because what they're going to use the money for? Redar goes on to say they've stopped fighting wars to win since Vietnam. Yeah, I'd say right before Vietnam, right? Coming back, one of the things I told you that, look at this legislative session, things I disagreed with, but I told you I felt like the fix was in. Sure looks like that as the Alabama legislature passed a bill banning hemp products. The headline says from being sold at gas stations, but there's so much more to this, and I'll bring in the pro, our friend Jennifer Boozer from Canabama, next.